Welcome in, everybody. It is time for some AnavCast live here in the studio, right here, straight from AnavCast. We've got DJD.
Howdy. Sorry, I didn't realize you were being ready to say something.
and then I am.
I was pulling
Farmer.
A Craig.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, wait a minute, isn't that Craig's job? Oh man, good stuff. And I am the one and only Farmer, and we're here to answer your questions. Oh wait, that's a different podcast. But if you do have questions, go ahead and write them. I mean, we might look at them. We might not. I mean, it just depends on how we feel
and how good they are.
Yeah, and how good they are. So, today has been kind of me just working on like sound stuff. I don't know if everybody knows, but I am helping out with our local festival here, and that's going to be coming up in May. And somehow I got wrapped into doing all the sound, because a lot of you guys know I do music, so. I volunteered myself into coordinating all the people that are going to play music, but now I'm also the guy doing the sound. So that is why I was outside till about 9 o'clock tonight working on gear, working on speakers, making
like
sure
a lot
they
of
work.
Fun,
I was telling Isabel as I came in, this is a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but I'm having a blast at the same time. So I'm just, you know, checking wires, making sure everything's, ship shape. And actually, I still have it up outside. I just like covered a bunch of the speakers for, you know, moisture protection, because I still got to do a bunch of stuff like on it tomorrow. So I'll definitely have to be posting a few pictures here in a nav. I'll put some pictures of what it's going to look like and maybe do a little dry run. Who knows? That's what I've been into last couple
weeks.
One
of the things that I miss about like working for and volunteering at the church that Johnny and I both used to go to was like getting to do all the sound stuff and everything, and kind of really getting a handle on a lot of that. And just it was never like professional training per se, but it was a lot of good hands-on experience, and I enjoyed it. I really did. Especially when I got to help out at like larger events and stuff, like you know.
What it sounds like is that you're volunteering to be my guy in the chair to do the mixing. So, yeah. So, May, you have anything going on in May, you know? Just come over here to the festival.
I'm sure I do. I'm sure I have lots going on in May. But, you know, I mean, like, you know, that's the Star Wars month or whatever, you know. South of Midnight will be out by then, so I'll probably be playing that, you know.
South of Midnight comes out when?
I live a busy life, you know. I
mean. South of Midnight comes out after that. No, it comes in April. You'll be done with it by then, so you should be good.
Not with the way my backlog works.
yeah, I get that. If you ever have any second thoughts, you know, come on down and come enjoy the festival, and I'll work you to death. You know, it'll be the best experience you ever had at a local festival. That's not so local for you, but very local for me.
Honestly, I'll consider it, yeah, because I do miss doing that kind of stuff. I really did enjoy it when I was doing it more actively, and now I just don't have the opportunity anymore. You don't know what you miss until it's gone.
That's
right?
True.
So,
yeah. So true. I mean, that's kind of what's got me into all this, because, you know, we had a bluegrass band back in the day, and so, you know, I've always thought, well, maybe we'll get back together. Maybe it'll happen again. And I just kind of like waited, you know, and I'm done. So last year was basically, well, the last couple of years I've been like, you know what, just doing my own thing, because it's not going to happen. You know,
I feel like this is a very poignant thing where the more older I get and everything, the more I realize waiting is an action, right? It's like you're choosing to not do anything. That is a choice. That is an inaction, and nothing will change if you just wait for things to happen.
And there's a lot of that to as you're growing up or maturing, you're realizing, oh, I just have to take this initiative. I thought that I just had to wait for other people to do things, but no, you, especially with, I feel like, well, really with anything, but a lot with music, for me personally, nobody's going to go out there and just, I guess there's always that thought in the back of your head that, oh, it just happens for people. No, these people are, you don't see all the stuff that they're doing, I guess. And that's finally right. Like clicked for
exactly.
me.
Yeah.
Years back, it was like, you know what? Nobody's just going to see me as, oh, I'm a musician and they want to, hire me or all of a sudden I make it big or anything like that. Nothing like that per se, but like, you have to be in there. You have to go out and really put yourself in maybe in maybe more uncomfortable situations. It doesn't have to be uncomfortable, but you know what I'm saying? You actually have to put yourself out there to get results. I mean, if you're not marketing, and this is kind of like across the board. If let's say just for my job, if we're not out there doing drywall work, nobody's going to know about us. We're not going to get any jobs because people don't know that we do it. So we have to kind of proclaim what we are doing. You have to be out there.
That absolutely extrapolates across everything, right? Like relationships and all that,
It's kind of what,
or
whatever,
like, literally
time you
anything
put into
else
it.
That you, yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, like, if you just like don't ever like say anything or do anything behind the scenes or whatever, like, I mean, you're just one voice amidst like a sea of noise, I mean, maybe you'll get lucky, but probably not. The odds aren't with you in that case, but the more effort that you put in, the more that you generally get out of it,
Yeah. Yep. Most things, again, they don't come out of just you sitting and waiting for them to happen. No, you got to go out there and make it happen. Take some initiative and plan it and desire it. And eventually, if you get, enough passion for it, then you're going to just want to go do it no matter what, And that's kind of how music is for me. And I'm sure Johnny's that way as well. It's just like nobody's like really necessarily telling us to do it. It's something we have to do.
Right. Like the amount you care about something is generally pretty easily like defined by the amount of effort you put into it, I think, in a lot of ways.
You should, I have to send you some pictures because I'm using this really old mixer board. A lot of the stuff I got that was donated to this church that we kind of work hand in hand with, and they were donated a bunch of this gear, and so I was going through a bunch of it and helping them clean some out. They didn't need any more, and I'm like, I'd be more than happy to help you guys out if you guys don't want that gear anymore. So that's kind of it's worked out. It's really nice. Like some of it's older stuff, obviously, but older's not necessarily worse, sometimes it's better, honestly, with some of the analog stuff outside of being all digital. I mean, I like some of the new stuff, but the speakers, the cabinets, they're great.
I'm kind of curious if that isn't, I mean, part of it probably is that you avoid like certain like glitches or whatever, or like errors that you could potentially experience like via digital, but I think part of it is probably familiarity too. You're just used to certain things. So like, how everything works with that certain thing. Like it's always crazy to me seeing someone like use like new tech that mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with and how well they use it compared to like how I'm able to use it. Like even something as simple as like, GIMP, right? Like you watch an expert use GIMP and they can milk more out of it than like Photoshop, I mean, like it's insane. But me, I'm like just barely struggling to figure out like how to move images across,
That software is very, very particular. I've used it several times and it's just like, if you don't know the ins and outs, you're pretty much might as well just use like Paint or something like that, because there's a bunch of stuff with like the anchoring and the way that they have it. And you have to do so much learning just to figure out how to navigate. And if you can't navigate, then you're just sunk. you're just sunk.
I mean, that's wise words. If you can't navigate, you're sunk. That's pretty true for just about everything. Well, a lot of extrapolation.
I started with the anchor, and I just had to, you know, go with the whole theme there. but I don't know how many times I've been in that program thinking, man, I can do this in like 5 minutes, and it takes me like an hour or two, you know, just to like do this little thing.
I'm fairly good at it now, but there's one specific thing I do, which is essentially I have this layout that I use for my my little like schedule videos for Twitch. And I have to format that every single time. And every single time I forget exactly like what sequence of things that I do in what order to like actually make that work. Because essentially I just have, it's really simple. All I have to do is I have to crop a new image to the size of an old image that I already have laid out in that original template, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds really simple. It should be really easy. Every single time it takes me like an hour and a half to figure out how I did it. Because I only do it once a month. So I mean like
Fair. Like if you don't use it, as I say, you lose it. And it's so easy, like especially for something like that. It's like you have these steps and you only use it for that. Now it's something you use every day. Eventually you get into, you know, these habits that you just don't even think about and you just do it. But things like that, especially that program, again, when you're trying to do one or two things, especially when I'm like trying to like resize and then rechange like certain windows and like they're separate overlays on top of overlays and then trying to get it to work. Like there's just sometimes it's not intuitive to me. Like I feel like it should do a thing and it does it a different way. And I'm like, that's not the language I want it to speak, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just me not being fluent in it, you know? I'm just a noob when it comes to GIMP. Really much so.
Or, I mean, like, even Canva, I feel like I'm relatively inadequate at. But, I mean, like, I do appreciate that I can use those programs well enough to be able to do what I need to do, even if it takes me forever.
Well, and Canva, Canva's like, nice because it really holds your hand. There's many parts of it that you're just like, hey, we'll help you along the way. So that is kind of nice.
Or there's like, you know, like friendly features like background removal or whatever, you know, where you don't have to figure out how that works. You just can like click the button and it automatically does it, you know, as opposed to, okay, I need to turn the blur color transparent. I need to like recrop everything around that, like, you know, whole image, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the technicalities that usually turn people off is like, oh, you have to do this subset factor, you know, and you have to shade this and then you have to go and do these settings to where Canva is a little bit more user friendly and like the blur thing I was using the other day was like very, very user friendly. Like and it makes it quicker and that's what you want in a way. So if you don't know the hard programs, you know, you get something that's a little bit quicker and easier for you.
Yep. And that's what I appreciate also about my ROG Ally. Or like the Steam Deck or like various other handouts in terms of like being essentially PCs, but not, you know, like specifically more geared towards gaming. The fact that they, for the most part, just work. Sometimes you have to do some tweaking, especially to like specific games or whatever to get them running on the right settings. But I mean, like, I like the fact that they just work.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I really like consoles,
right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
See, we're like, thinking the same thing there.
Yeah. So, like, I'm actually kind of very, very interested. This is the topic of the show, or should be, I think. I'm really, really interested in whether Steam comes to Xbox. Whether that will just be a thing that just works, and you don't have to worry about, like, settings or anything, because the Xbox is powerful enough or whatever to handle it. And, like, I mean, like, it's built specifically for gaming. It's not like it even has like all the utility that like a normal PC would have, or even a ROG Ally or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. like it's theoretically like it's got like standard specs across the board, you know, like for the most part. I mean, unless you figure in like Series S or older gens or whatever. Like, but theoretically, like Steam should be going, oh, okay, this is an Xbox Series X. These are the settings the game needs to have. And it just works, you know, theoretically. But that's if Steam is coming to Xbox, which have you seen the rumors on that this week?
I have not, no.
So Xbox put out a page, like some kind of email or something, or like marketing campaign or something like that, that said something like, Xbox is opening more windows, or like, oh gosh, I don't remember the exact verbiage. I'll look for it here. But essentially, they put out this marketing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they leaked a couple of screenshots that had a game library. And in the upper corner of the game library, it said Steam Games. Which seems to indicate that, like, in some way, shape, or form, you'll be able to see your Steam games on Xbox. Now, the question is, like, one of the things that they have mentioned is the ability to, like, see your entire library, whether or not it's installable on Xbox. And so that could be kind of interesting. Like, I have a piece of software that I just installed last week called Playnite, which essentially, like, it allows you to import your libraries from Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox. Nice. And all the various PC stores. Mm-hmm. And so essentially I was able to, like, very relatively easily, like, list out all the games that I own on all those platforms, not including physical copies, but like just all the digital copies, like very easily. Like, I mean, it's just like found them and went, hey, you own this or whatever. And so now I have this app that now shows me my entire library of games, which is really cool. I really like that. And I could see that being like a thing on Xbox. But also, Phil Spencer has made comments in the past, I think, of like something along the lines of like, oh, you know, it'd be cool if Steam and other platforms were accessible on Xbox. And so, like, that combined with this particular image, which it seems kind of weird that they would just like do this just so that you could just see your library.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not impossible, but kind of weird. Like, that seems like a lot of work to go to for something that's like not really functional. It makes more sense if like you'll actually see these other software, like third-party like platforms or whatever, coming to Xbox and being like accessible via an Xbox, especially as Steam already exists on like other like third-party devices, right? Like Windows, even technically, you know. I mean, like, granted, it started on Windows. Well, I think Linux first, but it would be really, really interesting to see. And maybe this is just for the handheld, but it also could very much be like an app that comes to Xbox where you can then play Steam games on your Xbox, which would be really cool and would make a lot of sense, especially if we're talking about next-gen Xbox, which every generation of Xbox has been getting closer and closer to PC in terms of like accessibility, in terms of like apps being available on it or whatever, you know. I mean,
I love to see what they're cooking up for sure. And again, we're seeing a little bit, maybe even a little prematurely than they're even wanting a little bit there, but I'm interested.
I'm gonna send you this image, but
I'm interested, it does make me curious.
But it's super interesting, the idea of like being able to play like Steam games on Xbox, especially
Yeah, because there's a whole library of things that you know only is exclusive to Steam, you know. Right. But yeah, that would open up a whole new world of avenues of things that you could do. That would be crazy.
Well, one of the things they have said specifically was that they want to merge like the Windows and Xbox experiences on handhelds, right? And so like on both like third-party handhelds and probably also their own, which hasn't been officially announced yet, but we know it exists. And like, I don't see them launching their Xbox handheld without Steam being available to download on it. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I think it needs to have Steam. Especially since it'll probably be like mostly Windows based, even if it has a like a more Xbox centric UI. I don't see how they could launch a handheld that only has Xbox like console games available on it, or Xbox like PC and console even. Mm-hmm. When the handheld market is filled with devices that have the ability to do more than that.
Yeah, a thought just occurred to me, actually. Like, okay, so we got, Steam, obviously, but I'm interested. Are they going to allow others outside of Steam, or is it just going to be only Steam? But, you know, would they allow anybody who has a platform out there to, like...
I could see that.
To be part of it.
I could absolutely see that, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing... I feel
like
other platforms
would love to do that. And I also feel like the only thing that's been holding that back so far has been that Xbox is very much like a traditional console, even the Series X to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But with keyboard and mouse support, which they've had forever at this point, you know, like multiple mm-hmm. years, like what, almost a decade, I think, mm-hmm. since they introduced keyboard and mouse support, like I could totally see like, it's just being a thing where, like, yeah, some games will not support controller, and guess what? That's fine. You can plug in a mouse and keyboard and still play it on your Xbox. You know? I mean, I could totally see them doing that.
Yeah. We get GOG, maybe the Epic Store. I don't know, whatever right. else Ubisoft is throwing out. A funny thing when I look at this, I don't know if it kind of, like, triggered this in your mind, but, like, all of it's great, obviously, but when I'm looking at the phone, I'm like, it's a Windows phone. I just
that hit me.
Ugh. Like, oh, the Windows phone's back. Yeah. the tiles and everything on the phone.
Yeah.
That's why I thought that.
But that's also that's kind of their Xbox UI when you look at it, you know.
Yeah, it is very, like, it's their games, very very tile based. I mean, I like that look, and that's pretty cool, though, that picture you sent me of everything. It's pretty nifty,
and
like, everything.
I don't see the point of allowing you to just see games on a device that you can't play them, unless you're, like, very specifically in a niche use case like me. Like, some people might appreciate that. Like, hardcore, like, users, you know? Like... or even just like those who like have a large library across multiple platforms might really appreciate that. But like overall, I think that most people wouldn't necessarily care. Like they want to see a library of the games that they can play on that device. And that's mm-hmm. pretty much it, you know? So like, I feel like to go to all this effort for just like a very select group of people, while that wouldn't be the first time that Xbox has done something like that, like, I feel like that it's more likely that this is like a mock-up. And granted, again, this is a mock-up image. There's some like menu options listed twice or whatever. Microsoft took it down. It might have just been a placeholder design or something. It just seems very unlikely that like if this image is like a sign of things to come, which probably is, that it's just to show your library and not actually like a sign of like Steam at least. If not also other platforms, which I think that if Steam came, like other platforms would too, maybe later, but definitely would come to like Xbox hardware. And on one hand, that does mean that like Xbox becomes more of a PC in some ways. And I could see the argument of that hurting like the idea that kind of like leading into the narrative that Xbox is just a games publisher now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I could see that kind of like feeding into that a little bit, even though it still would be their hardware.
Right.
But on the other, I think that it's a really good thing for consumers to be able to like play more games on more platforms. Like, especially if you can buy a $500 box that plays games at a pretty high fidelity, you know, which Xbox is, you know, Xbox Series X is a pretty good hardware to play games at, you know?
Oh yeah. Yep.
And I'm sure that the follow-up coming in allegedly 2027 will be as well. It just seems like that would be a really good thing for, like, especially as stuff gets more expensive potentially in the next few years here or whatever. Like, I could see this being a really good thing for gamers just in general to be able to, and what a way to kind of like combat like PlayStation's lead too, by like offering like this more, I hate to say it, but like more open, less, more Google, less Apple kind of like ecosystem where like you just have more options.
Right.
And it's less of a walled garden. I think that that does benefit gamers, and I think that does provide a very appealing alternative to like PlayStation's walled garden philosophy.
Well, and even the philosophy of the console, because it very much so is, you know, kind of like shoehorned into that. Okay, this is a console, and that's all it is. You know, all the games
right.
come to this specific store, and you can only get it through this store for this console. But the whole idea of like, oh, wait, I can have all these games working everywhere, which is already kind of, you know, Xbox has already kind of done some of that, you know, with, you know, some of the games being able to go, you know, across to the PC and back. But, you know, to have
right.
the whole immersion between all of it, you know, just at your fingertips, and like all of it works, especially if like you're saying, like if Steam works, you know, and then. That just opens up the playing field for that, and then even more things that could happen. And if all this stuff, you can access all your library. I mean, that's the way it should be. I mean, it's like movies anywhere except for gaming, you know? I mean, that's the way
right.
it really should be.
Well, and I love like that, like Xbox has that Xbox Play Anywhere thing mm-hmm. where you buy it once on a platform and then you can play it anywhere or whatever. Like, and they just announced like a couple weeks ago that they just hit over 1,000 games in terms of supporting that, which is cool. But like, it'd be like Steam was doing that, I think, way before like Xbox was, just in terms of like on different devices, you know?
Right.
Now, granted, like it all had to be PC. But this would kind of be like a game changer in terms of like making that transition to also being on console. I think that would help Steam a lot. I think that would help Xbox a ton. Like, if your choice when the next generation of consoles come along is a PlayStation, where you can play PlayStation exclusives, and then also Xbox exclusives, and then third-party games, you know, but then your other choice is an Xbox where you might not be able to play PlayStation exclusives, but you also get all those PC exclusives, which will never come to PlayStation because they can't, you know? Like, I mean, that seems way more appealing to me. As much as I love the PlayStation exclusives that have come out and everything, and as much as I would probably try to get both, you know? I mean, like, I could see that being a way more attractive offer and, like, kind of like a really good counter to PlayStation's whole, like, you know, like, this is the only place you can play PlayStation exclusive games, you know?
Right. It's almost like Xbox saying, hey, there's a workaround here for, okay, Xbox can't have PlayStation exclusives, but if they release their games on Steam and Steam is now a viable option, guess what? You know, we've done it, you know, we've bridged the gap, and now you can play PlayStation's exclusives because through Steam.
If Sony allows it, like, there is the possibility that Sony would be like, no, like, these games are only playable on certain devices, like actual PCs, as opposed to like Xboxes.
Yeah, and I could see them doing that. I could definitely see them doing that, but just because, you know, they're petty. But, you know,
that's what the P in PlayStation stands for, actually.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, no, as always, for the most part, you know, Xbox is always pushing the envelope and experimenting. And I mean, you know, that's why we've stuck with Xbox for so long. I mean, we've talked about this before. If it wasn't for them, you know, PlayStation wouldn't be pushing all these other things. The only reason they are is to stay, you know, to appease the people that are like, hey, why are you doing this? But Xbox, though, they'll say, you know, PlayStation is definitely one as far as the market and everything. Xbox is innovative so much for the gamer, you know, outside of just trying to win the race, you know, they've done so much. And you know, the backwards compat, you know, crossplay, all this stuff, trying to get their games, you know, anywhere they can so the gamers can enjoy the games wherever they want. And this is just another step in that direction. I mean, I just hope Xbox continues to, you know, stay true to what they say, for one. You know, I know there's been some of the kind of back and forth. Of course, I don't know how much that is Xbox, you know, can control at some point, but, you know, continue to like, I mean, this year they've had really good titles as well. You know, continue to keep plugging away with that. Also keep on, you know, innovating and working for the gamer, you know, and getting the games everywhere, you know. And this whole thing with Steam seems like a great idea. There's so many games that I don't play on my Steam that seems that they would be really awesome on like a handheld, you know, like they're designed for a handheld or something like that. And or like even on my console outside of like playing mouse and keyboard, which I have been getting more back into it. But like for people who are only console, a lot of those games would appeal to them, but they, you know, aren't a PC, you know.
Right.
This would be a really cool option for a lot more discoverability for all these developers that only develop for maybe only Steam, you know.
Well, it sounds great. Specifically like costs too, like a good PC probably is like somewhere around like anywhere between $1,000-$2,000, right, to run like the newest games, whereas like an Xbox, like next gen Xbox, will probably be $500, you know. Right. and will absolutely run on really good settings, maybe not the highest settings, like maybe not unlocked like 120 FPS or whatever. Although, who can say with the next-gen Xbox? I mean, like, we don't know any specs on that yet. But, I mean, like, probably it'll never be as good as, like, the high-end graphics cards can do. But it'll always be probably in that premium range, you know? And, like, specifically just because that's all it does, it's just a machine that runs games. It doesn't have 15 apps running at the same time. It doesn't launch like Ableton, you know, or whatever, you know, or like whatever other, mm-hmm. like, you know, like XSplit broadcaster, you know, in the background, yeah, you know,
sucks, any of that.
Or sucking up a ton of like your like processing power and all that. Like, since all it does play games, like it can be a lot cheaper and a lot more targeted towards just playing them well. And like, I mean,
well,
like,
and giving your friends like who only have that, you know, who only have that ability, and they're like, they're kind of gatekeeped, like, man, I really wish I could play this game, but I really, especially this is more true to the younger crowd, as you know, we were all there when you only have this one device and you really wanted to play multiplayer. I remember going in and having computers like these really old computers and trying to work on my own LAN for trying to play Age of Empires. And we've come so far from those days, but like, yeah. that's the whole mentality though. Like, that's where it all starts. You know, the whole idea, like, I want to be able to play games with my friends. And this bridges even more of that gap than even where it's been. It just helps you play games with your friends wherever, whenever, and the way you want to, and keeps you, like, if you only have, let's say, the console, you can still do that and still find yourself in those places to be able to play all the games that, you know, you want to find yourself playing with your friends at that time, you know, and not having to like, oh, I've got to figure out how to get a couple grand, you know, or something like that. You know, it's like no kid has that kind of money, and they have to usually stick with what they've got, and they just get, you know, nobody wants to be left out. I mean, when you're having a good time, like in a game like Helldivers or something like that, I mean, it's rough when you only have an Xbox, you know, and you're not able to join into all that really good fun. And that's one thing I really do hate about business gaming in general. You know, the whole business side of it is that they're not in it for the gamer. I get it. People have to make money and all that. But at the same time, the whole business side of things and how marketing works and all that, those inner working things, it's devoid of life and it kills the fun because we gamers just really want to, you know, for the most part, I would say most gamers just want to be in this amazingly large community of like-minded gamers who want to do the same thing that they want to do, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, and like you were saying, like the more accessible it is, the easier it is to just like plug it in, have it work, boom, you know, like you're in your game. You don't have to do any like configuration. You don't have to do any setup. Like it just works. You just launch the game. You play the game. That's it. Like the number of problems that I've had with my Xbox, like 2, right? The number of problems I've had with my ROG Ally, which I just got pretty recently, you know, like way more than 2, let me tell you. I mean, like, and that's like a specific handheld, like geared more towards gaming even. That's not even like a full PC, you know, like the number of problems I've had with like PCs in terms of gaming have been innumerable, you know? I mean,
yeah.
But like,
well, there's something about peace of mind too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the hardware is going to work for all these things for the most part.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And also just having one hardware spec to like aim for and like to configure for, and then just set the game to like recognize, hey, it's this kind of hardware. So it will automatically like adjust to these settings for that kind of hardware. Like that seems like that's a no-brainer. Like, yes, that's a really good idea. And I feel like Steam could implement that pretty easily being on Xbox, where either on the Xbox side or the Steam side, where like it could recognize this is an Xbox, these are settings for Xbox that play the best, and it's just going to automatically take care of all of that in the background for you. You don't have to worry about a thing. And like, that's really cool. That would be good.
Yeah. And all these developers who have games can easily put out that patch, you know, like, okay, these are the settings. And we know what, again, it would make it a lot easier going in.
Yeah,
it really does. It's when developers can't predict what in the world you built, you know, that's when like, yeah. What did they build? How am I supposed to predict that they're going to mix these two things that should never be mixed together? You know?
Yeah. I do think that there's something to be said for like, the way that they were talking about the Series S, where they said that the Series S really made it a lot easier for them to kind of like target handheld specs for certain games. And so like coming up on like potentially having their their own first party handheld in a couple of years here, and having that like third party Xbox branded one this year, I think we'll see Xbox games like be pretty well adjusted to that in a way that like some other games aren't necessarily. And so that's really cool. But I like the idea of having a premium Xbox, like next generation, that plays like my Steam library as well as my Xbox library. And like, I don't have to think about it, and I still get like a really, really great experience. It sounds incredible to me. Like the one thing I don't like about this ROG Ally is that the most it can do is 1080. And that's not it's fine. Like, it's not a bad thing. I'm still glad that I have it. It allows me to PC game in a way that, like, I wouldn't be doing otherwise, you know? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, I've just, like, if I really want to see how beautiful a game is, I have to play it on Xbox, which is, again, fine. Like, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have an Xbox to be able to do that. Right. But I'd like to continue that trend, like, where I can continue to get an Xbox and, like, play games, like, at the highest fidelity or whatever, like, that, or at least a good one, right? A premium fidelity.
Right, where you can see everything's nice and crisp and clean, and there's no, right. like, there's no dropping in frames, no, like, latency from, like, all the rendering and, you know, any of that kind of stuff, where it just feels like, wow, this is polished, and it feels smooth, and it just looks amazing.
Yep, exactly, yeah. So, I'm excited about this. I mean, we'll see if it actually happens. Like, maybe it is literally just a, maybe it's, like, a mock-up for something that isn't actually going to happen. Or, like, it was just an idea tossed around at a meeting or, like, a placeholder image or something that they, like, weren't very careful with or whatever. Or maybe it literally is just going to be a library app that comes to your Xbox where you can just see, like, the list of games you have on different platforms. I mean, I guess maybe that's possible. But, I mean, like, if it's, like, actually, like, allowing other platforms to come to Xbox, that seems like a really smart strategy.
I really need this. I just sent it to you.
Oh. Little Infinite Switch, that would be great. Honestly, I wish Switch would open their arms to Game Pass. I feel like that would be an easy thing for them to do if they wanted to do it. But, I mean, like, I don't know that we'll ever see that, even on the Switch 2. Though it would be really cool for the Switch 2. I would buy a Switch 2 day one if they announced that, like, oh yeah, Game Pass is going to be on here too.
It would. I mean, it would bridge the whole void. Again, they might not want to do that as Xbox, you know, they're wanting to do their own. But honestly, it'd be like, okay, this is, you know, them collaborating, and this is your handheld, you know, for Xbox. Is the Switch. The Switch can do it all. Now, you know, you can do Xbox, and now you can do all your Nintendo titles, you know, so no brainer. That would be the thing that everybody would get, is the Switch 2. That would skyrocket.
Are you
going to
get a Switch 2 at launch?
I don't know if it'll be at launch or not, but it's, man, it's a, I don't know. It depends on what game comes out, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am, too. Like, I mean, if there's a game that a lot of, like, friends, like, get that really want to play or whatever, like, especially a co-op game or something, like, maybe, you know? Like, that's maybe. But, like, oh, gosh, like, I barely play my Switch as is, and that's my fault, but still.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, but my kids play it way more than I do.
Oh, sure, that's true. Yeah, yeah. And so what you're saying is I need to adopt. Got it.
The trick, there you go. The mostly the reason I don't play it is because they started playing it, and I've said this probably a couple times on the podcast, but they literally went in and deleted my files and overwrote my files, and
oh,
so
no.
my whole I have no like I have I don't know, I just. I have no reason to go play something that I'm just going to have my heart broken, you know, when I have all this time I spend into it, and there's no, you know, I have no, I don't know. There's no, I have no desire to, you know, just waste all my time and not have the save files. And of course they're better now. And I don't think they've done that much lately, but it's still affecting me until this day. I was very
sure.
close,
yeah. No, I understand that.
Finishing Zelda, and I had spent hours, so many hours in that game, and save file overwritten, you know, and just like it's gone. But you know, that's just the price you pay for cultivating a new generation of gaming, you know. Gaming family, I guess, in a way, you know, I guess that's my sacrifice to pass down the torch to my kids to, you know, have good gaming, you know, and play games that they like and that I like, that I know they will like. So I guess I'm willing to make the sacrifice. It's just, it's part of it.
Yeah, I just, hey man, like, I mean, between kind of being tempted by the third-party Xbox-branded thing coming out later this year, a little bit, just because it's Xbox-branded. And the knowing that I will get, or try to get, I don't want to jinx it, knock on wood, but knowing that I will attempt to get both the Xbox Premium Console and the Xbox Handheld when they release, I don't know that I can justify Switch 2 right now. Like, I mean, like, as much as, like, I do love Nintendo and, like, certain Nintendo games and everything, like, I mean, I feel like I can get my Nintendo fix still from the original Switch when I do actually get to the point of, like, craving it. And then, like, yeah, I don't know when I'll get a Switch 2. Yeah, probably eventually, but they would have to add, like, more than what I've seen, I think. Some of the, like, a little, like, rumored features or whatever in that, like, little trailer look cool, but I don't, like, these snap-on, like, magnetic, like, Joy-Cons, for instance, that seems way cooler than, like, the sliding them in thing, where I've, like, almost broken my Joy-Cons multiple times, but, yeah, I don't know, like, that's just, it's asking a lot for me to spend an extra $400 on another console that I might not ever play.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And that's kind of where I'm at with the whole Switch, too. I'm just like, well, there's a bunch of different factors, you know, with Xbox, all the stuff that they're doing, their handheld and all that. And, you know, I like Nintendo games and exclusives and all that. But I'm also, we're both pretty much on the, you know, the cutting edge of technology, and we like to see what's new. And I think that's kind of where I'm at too. Like I know what Switch 2 is going to be, but this is something different. Can I experience something that I've not seen, a new device that functions a little bit differently, and, you know, just be able to see new tastes, new experiences, new, maybe even hardware and functionalities, you know, in this new stuff. That's kind of where I'd be gearing myself towards as well. So I think that's probably another factor for me, where I'm just like, okay, I want something that's just might blow me away, you know, something that's just different, something that just takes us, you know, a whole new spin on some stuff.
Yeah. And then, like, not in a gimmicky way either. Like, I don't want Kinect or, like, the Wii U, like, handheld, like, combination or whatever, you know? Like, I mean, I want something substantial if I'm actually going to be excited about it. And I just don't know that the Switch 2 carries that for me.
Exactly. But
I guess, like all things, time will tell, you know? I mean,
time will tell. So Ninja Gaiden is released, right?
Ninja Gaiden 4 comes out later this year. In
South of Midnight is April 8th. Very soon. Very soon. Like,
and Avowed just released
2 weeks from tomorrow. Yeah, Avowed has released. We got Expedition 33, which didn't you just say that you're trying it out now?
No. I'm playing 33 Immortals, different game.
33
Immortals. But Expedition 33, very excited about that too.
I'm very excited about that, and I'm really actually kind of, and I was hoping at this point I'd had played through all the other ones, but since this is kind of like maybe a prequel, I might just start with Doom the Dark Ages. But Doom the Dark Ages, May 15th, dude. That's gonna be right after all this festival stuff is done. I might just veg and play that game, you know, not doing anything.
Very, very exciting. Yeah.
Very,
a lot of
very,
cool things coming this year.
Including
the next season of an AvCast, which will be starting next episode.
That's right. That next week. And, well, we're actually just about out of time, actually, for today. So do you have anything else?
No, I'm around. That's pretty much it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being here for this episode of a NavCast. And don't forget to subscribe, like, follow, all the things, you know, so we can keep on promoting awesome game content. I am talking about what's going on in the world of gaming, in the world of maybe sometimes movies, TV shows, you know, we talk about just about everything under the moon for the most part. So, yep, anyways,
true.
we have a lot of fun doing it, and if you guys want to support us, share us with anybody, we would love that, and love to keep this thing going.
Full steam ahead.
Yep. Until next time, we'll see y'all later.
Get out of here, Craig.